In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. April 12th, 1961. Aboard Vostok 1, the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin was the first human being to travel in outer space. This fact is not in dispute. What is in dispute is what he said when he got back from his one-day journey into the beyond. Now, the godless totalitarian government of the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, led by their premier, Nikita Khrushchev, well, they said, Gagarin said this, "I looked and looked for God and I did not see him." Years later, however, Gagarin, himself a Russian Orthodox Christian, said, "I never said anything like that." It's interesting to me that "I looked for God, but I did not see him" could be used by atheists to prove that there is no such thing as God. But "I looked for God and I did not see him"? I think there's Christians, struggling Christians in our neighborhood, in our family, maybe in this church right now, who with a sigh say, "I looked for God, but I didn't see him." What happens when you look for God, but you don't find him? Now, to use the fact that you can't see God directly as evidence that he doesn't exist is kind of like me hearing a voice in the office next to mine, but then denying that there is a person in that office because I can't see through the wall. We have not seen God directly. But we have heard him. We've heard him in his holy word, the scriptures. And in those scriptures, what God does is he describes himself for us in great detail. And as he does, we see him with the eyes of faith. Now today, as I mentioned earlier, we're celebrating Trinity Sunday. This is the day that the Christian church sets aside to make the point that our God is one God. This is the way that he describes himself in the Bible. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. So in this sermon today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain that to you so that you can understand it perfectly. And I'm going to do things like point to the fact that there are three letters, G-O-D, in the one word, God. Or there's roots, there's a trunk, there's branches, but one tree. Or ice and snow and steam. They're very different, but they're made up of the same thing, water. Or electricity is at once light and heat and power. Or I was thinking of going back into the sacristy and pulling out a cloth napkin, folding it three times, letting you see the three folds, and then unfolding it to reveal, voila, one napkin. Here's the thing. I can't make you understand the teaching of the Holy Trinity because I don't understand it. One plus one plus one is just supposed to equal three, but with our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God. Who is God? It can be a vexing question if you're trying to figure out the Trinity, but there will be no explaining in this sermon. There will be rejoicing in who God is. The God of the Bible, the God who communicates to us through His Word, says in so many different ways that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each one of those persons of the Trinity so actively involved, so working so hard to give your life meaning, to make you His own, to take you to heaven. 3,500 years ago, that one true God wanted to bless His people. He wanted them to know, since they were fresh out of Egypt, the people of Israel had just, they had just become a free people out of the bondage of Egypt, but they were on a perilous journey to the promised land. And God wanted them to know, I'm with you. I'm with you every step of the way. And so this is how He did that. I am reading now from Numbers chapter 26, Numbers chapter 6, beginning with the 22nd verse. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. So they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. I think you recognize those words, right? You know that as the blessing that you often hear right here in this sanctuary at the end of the service. We call it the Aaronic blessing because it was given to Aaron, the brother of Moses and the first high priest of Israel. And did you notice what God said? I want you to use this blessing to put My name on the people. And yet in that name, He never says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we know from the rest of the Bible that those names are often used for our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But even here, so long ago, in this blessing, did you feel a hint of the triune God? The Lord. Three times the Lord would put His blessing on the people. And when He says, the Lord bless you and keep you, I think of God the Father. It was James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his epistle wrote these words, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Whatever it is in your life that is a blessing, whatever it is, whether it's the food and drink that you enjoy, the work and the rest that you enjoy, the family and the friends that you enjoy, that's from the Father. That every blessing that we have emanates, has its source in God the Father. He spoke creation into being, didn't he? With the words of his mouth so long ago. And still today, he blesses us, he keeps us, he preserves us by using that creation. Now, how are we going to respond to this? How do we respond to the Lord's blessings in our life? I hope it's not by remembering the gift, but forgetting the giver. Isn't that the temptation? I know it is with me, to get so hung up on the stuff that I need or I think I need, but I forget about where it's coming from. I forget about who is giving it. Every blessing that we have really has no significance apart from God the Father, the giver of all blessings. And here is the significance. It shows how much he loves you. It shows how he wants to provide for you, how he wants to keep you, how he wants to care for you. That's God, your Father. And when we remember the giver more than the gifts, I think that's when we're thankful for and really content in the gifts that he gives. And here's one other thing about God the Father as the giver of all gifts. Literally, every day we feast on his blessing of food. But remember what Jesus once said. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Think of the words of God as an incredible blessing in your life that you get to feast on every day. And the greatest blessing of God the Father is God the Son, Jesus Christ. I think of God the Son when I hear these words of the blessing. The Lord make his face shine on you and be generous or gracious to you. Now, when you're talking to somebody you love and you really want to know what they're saying to you, what you really want to understand them, you really want to feel what they feel on the inside, you can't do it by looking inside them, right? Because none of us can do that. But what do we do? What do we do then? We look them in the face. We look them in the eye. Jesus is the face of God. God the Son is God's face. The apostle writer John once put it this way, no one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, has made him known. When you are looking at Jesus, when you contemplate him, when you consider the Lord Jesus and what he has done for you, you're looking into the face of God. And what do you see? Not the anger that my sins deserve for my many offenses against God. Not a frowning face like from a God that only wants to punish me for my misdeeds. No, what I see is, according to this blessing, grace. The unequaled, unparalleled, unforgettable, unexpected kindness from a God, an almighty God who washes away our sins because of God the Son. He himself once said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Come to God the Son. Believe in him. Trust in him. And when you do, you're looking into the face of God. Now, how am I going to respond to that grace of Jesus in my life? One of my favorite hymns is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," a Lenten hymn written by Isaac Watts, great hymn writer. And in the last stanza of that hymn, where in fabulous poetic language, he just lays out for us the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Then in the last stanza, he talks about how we respond to this. And these are his final words. "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." I have spent a good deal of time just thinking about what that means. How can I give my soul, my life, my all to the Lord in response to his grace? Could it be something like this? Isn't it that every part of who we are, our whole life, the way that we think, the way that we talk, the relationships that we nurture, the relationships we even choose to have, the way we interact with others, our communication, everything about us can be a reflection of the grace that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. Now, I will grant you, it's a dim reflection, because who are we in comparison to Christ and his grace? But you know, when you love, when everybody else is lashing out, and when you forgive, when the passive-aggressive thing is just to be silent and hold a grudge, or when you serve, when every fiber in your being is screaming, "I need to take advantage of this situation for myself," isn't that a reflection of all the grace that you have received from Jesus, the face of God? Isn't that a reflection, yes, of looking into God's face through Jesus Christ? Oh, praise God the Father for planning our salvation. Praise God the Son for carrying it out. Have you ever thought about this, friend? There isn't one thing that God the Father or God the Son has done for you for your eternal benefit that will do you any good unless there is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is sometimes called the unknown person of the Trinity. Maybe it's because we don't talk about him as much. But he, you can feel him, not just inside yourself, because we are told in Scripture that he indwells us believers, but you can feel him with every word of Scripture that you read, every word of Scripture that you hear, because it was God the Holy Spirit that inspired those Scriptures to be written in the first place by the human authors of the Bible. Now, I think of God the Holy Spirit in the words of this Aaronic blessing right here. "The Lord give you peace." Peace. God the Holy Spirit gives peace. What he does is he takes all of that amazing grace from the Lord Jesus, all of that love and care from God the Father. He takes it and he presents it to your heart as a gift. He works it in you so that you believe it to be true. This is the miracle of faith, and it is a gift of God. The Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But when you can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit and mean it, when you do have that trust that he's not only your Lord, but he's your Savior and he's your sin bearer, that's when you have peace. A peace that has you stop running away from God, right? Shaking your fist at him and start running toward him into his embrace, because he's the God who loves you. This is all done by God the Holy Spirit, who turns a bunch of rebels like us, where every natural inclination is to say, we want to go our own way, but he turns us to God. And that's conversion, turning. God the Holy Spirit gives us peace that way. I don't have to tell you that human history is just littered with examples of how frail and fragile peace is between human beings. Oh, there's so much violence, right? So much unrest, so much abuse, so much war. It's everywhere, and it's all the time. But there is a peace that lasts. And there is a peace that is rock solid. And I believe that it exists within your heart because God, the Holy Spirit, has worked it. It's a peace between God and you. And when you know that peace, when you know that you are at peace with the Almighty God because of Jesus Christ, that's when you can have peace with everybody else in your life. I was thinking about this the other day, how since I started here at St. Marcus less than 2 years ago and started talking to a lot of fabulous school teachers, who also are all younger than me, my hip lingo has really gotten an upgrade. And one of the expressions that I learned from teachers is, let me see if I can explain it to you. So if I were to say something to a teacher with which they agree, which is always good, you know, if they would agree with that something that I say, if they agree, they don't just say, I agree, Pastor. They say, 100%. And it took me a while. Oh, so what you're actually saying you agree with me, 100%. Do you find teaching to be a rewarding vocation? 100%, Pastor. Do you believe that you should minister to not only the mind, but also the soul of the student? 100%, Pastor. Total agreement, all the way. Trinity Sunday is 100% Sunday. How much does God love you? How much has he done for you? How much has he saved you? 100%. You have got a father who loves you and blesses you to the point that he sent his son, who is the very grace of God. And when you look at him, you see how God feels about you, and you have got a spirit working in your heart and giving you peace. This is the one true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who God is. Amen.